This episode is sponsored in part by Swim. Okay, here's a depressing stat. 70% of shoppers who want your products never actually buy them. They browse, they consider, then they forget. That's revenue walking out the door. Swim Wishlist Plus turns browsers into buyers. Customers save products they want, get notified when prices drop or items restock. You can also engage them in personalized fashion through your marketing or sales outreach. It's like having a personal shopper reminding them to come back and buy from you instead of your competitors. And 45,000 stores already use it, and it only takes 5 minutes to install. You can try it free today for 14 days. Go to getswim.com/Kurt. That's swimwithay.com/Kurt. Turn those maybe laters into sales today. Getswim.com. Today on the unofficial Shopify podcast, our guest has sold 250,000 shampoo bars. We'll get into what that is. 250,000 shampoo bars in 4 years without so much as a Meta ad, an Amazon listing, or an influencer partnership. All right, that's quite incredible and unheard of. And we're going to find out why someone would want to play this game on hard mode like that, right? For most merchants, I would hazard a guess that it's 70 to 80% of your orders, especially in those first 5 years, are going to come from probably Meta ads. One of, you know, Facebook and Instagram ads is going to be that scaling. And it is so hard and can be so frustrating. And so to have someone who has had that success without making a deal with the devil, you know, with Amazon listings and with Meta ads, that's incredible. I want to hear about it. So joining us today is Dip Hair Care founder Kate Asraf. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm actually so excited to be here. I feel you know, that intro was a little bit out of body because sometimes I just don't hear really what it is, you know?
It's, yeah, I guess it's different to have that third party confirmation, right? Because you've been building this, you know, brick by brick, as they say, for, I imagine this started over probably 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, tell me, Dip Hair Care, what's it sell?
Well, we sell plastic-free shampoo and conditioner bars, and as well as a few other beauty products, but the bulk of our business are shampoo and conditioner bars that replace really high-end salon stuff. So, you know, our shampoo bar is one of these things that it makes it so that you never have to choose between your workout and a good hair day. It's gentle enough to use every single day. So that solves a problem for a lot of people. And the conditioner bar is just secretly my middle finger to the beauty industry. It lasts a full year and it can replace something like Oribe or Pureology or any of these really expensive hair care products. So whether you care about being plastic free or not, it's not part of the story. It just saves someone a lot of money and makes you look like you come out of the salon.
And I, you know, you sent me these. I got last weekend. They arrived at my house. I loved the packaging, and I'm a big fan of fancy soaps. This is my first shampoo bar, but I love my fancy handmade soap. That's like my treat to myself, or the fancy soaps. And so I was thrilled to get these and try them. And you know, as, I don't know if you could tell, but you know, it performed just as well as shampoo. It works.
Yeah, so. You have beautiful hair. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm basically a peacock at this point. But why do this? When did this start? What was the impetus?
Well, so, you know, 10 years ago, I read about that's 11 years ago. I had read about the horrors of plastic, not only just the accumulation. Everyone thinks about the accumulation of plastic, but also like what it does to your health, and not just human health, but also, animal health. So I had read that I was reading this book called Boys Adrift, and it was about, I was pregnant with my first son, and it was basically about like how to raise like a strong boy. My older brother gave it to me. I already had two sons. And so I was reading this, and it was like, you know, talking about video games and talking about how like, you know, hunting and being in touch with nature isn't something anymore. And then there was a chapter on plastics, which was just like a kind of a blip in the book, but the author talked about how in the Potomac River, runoff from a plastic factory had changed the aquatic life, the hormonal health of the aquatic life so much that male fish started laying eggs. And to me, that was like probably one of the most horrifying things I'd ever heard, just because, you know, to be alive is to love nature, and to think that we're doing stuff that is so detrimental, not only to, you know, aquatic life, but just ourselves. And now, you know, 11 years later, you see now it's mainstream to like be panicking about plastic. But for 10 years ago, like 10, 11 years ago, like this was kind of this secret and it was being held away from consumers. So on my own journey, I tried to reduce plastic. But, you know, so many of the product offerings were just kind of left me disappointed, and they were also more expensive. And so for myself, I kept investing in like plastic-free shampoo and conditioner, and it did the exact opposite of what I was trying to do, which was just created like, it was like tombstones in my shower. I was like, never using this again, never using that again. And I was like, I can solve it. I've been in the beauty industry for 20 years. Like, I can solve this. I can make something really great that I would actually want to use again. And so that's that frustration is what brought me to create Dip.
So what, was there a moment you've got, you're trying existing solutions. Mm-hmm. I love, 'cause most people go, they have a pain or problem. In your case, it's like, hey, I want to not be rubbing microplastic infused, you know, materials on my head, and then just throwing these bottles out where they're going to sit for the next century in a landfill.
Totally.
So you say, all right, there's got to be alternatives. But then you try the alternatives, and none of them works. None of them is good enough. None of them does what you want.
Right.
And finally, you have that moment where you go, why not me?
Yeah. Like,
those three words are the magic that kicks off many entrepreneurial journeys. Do you know what your why not me moment was?
Yeah, I do. So once you kind of like learn about the plastic, the accumulation and the health thing, like you start to see plastic, or you start to look at the world differently. It's like, you can't unlearn it. It's like when you're a kid and you learn that Santa Claus isn't real, like suddenly it's like your whole, you know, mind shifts, right? I hope there's no kids listening to this right now, but you know, when...
You know, I hope not too. They would be bored to death. You know, if they are, they have fallen asleep already. It's just, it is what it is. It's not a kid show.
but no, it was a bigger thing. It's bigger than shampoo and conditioner, because I was like, how do I get people to care about this bigger plastic issue? You know, how do you get people to get excited or be aware without kind of preaching them to death? Like,
right.
How do you do that? And so I saw this opportunity. I was like, okay, I think that hair is like the most emotional thing in my regimen, in my beauty regimen. So, you know, you talk to anyone who loses their hair, it's a horrible thing. You talk to anyone who's gotten like a bad haircut, it like, you know, it's
emotional. Oh, you should meet my teenagers after they have gone to the barber. It's like their life has ended.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it grows back, right?
Totally. Bad dye job, bad anything. Like,
yep.
It's so, hair is so emotional. Like, you can have a great hair day and like take on the world. And so I thought, well, maybe this is like the nicest way to soft serve this plastic issue to people and get them really excited and care about it. But, you know, on the other side, I'm fighting this like other kind of explosion of plastic free brands that were kind of, I think, a little bit predatory and a little bit dishonest. I think there's a lot of cash grab plastic free brands that capitalized in 2020 of this, like, you know, how everyone was like trying to be more eco-friendly. And they were talking about like the dolphins and the Venice canals and all these things during the pandemic. And so you saw this explosion of plastic free brands that really, really, you know, took advantage of people. I think they cost more.
And greenwashing.
Yeah, they cost more, and they left people like super angry, you know. And now we're a few years later, and like people want to do better for the planet. I think if you stop 100 people on the street, 100% of them are going to be like, yeah, I want the world to be great for my kids. But you're like, oh, are you willing to make the changes? And they're like, nah, I tried the plastic-free deodorant. I hate it. I tried the plastic-free. I hate, like, I'm not willing to like get rid of those kind of creature comforts for the planet. And that's rational, to be honest. It's sad, but rational. And I don't fault anyone for that. So I really, really wanted to solve something and make it so good that I didn't have to advertise.
We know what you aren't doing with your advertising.
Yeah.
What are you doing? How did this happen? You hit seven figures in 14 months,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was fast.
That's quite unusual. It's extraordinary, with especially when you go, oh, zero influencers, zero paid ads, no Amazon. How? Like, what's left? What's the channel that worked?
So I know for me, I know that plastic-free beauty is just not really mainstream yet. And a lot of people don't care about it. But the people that do care about it are walking into zero waste stores and refill stores. If anyone doesn't know what those are, it's an emerging channel, and it's you know, you bring in like your empty laundry jug and you just fill it with more laundry detergent. You don't have to keep buying the plastic jug over and over again. They also, a lot of them have food, so you can go and, you know, instead of buying pasta at the store, you can go refill your pasta, your mango cheeks, your coffee, your tea, your spices, like literally so many things. So there's these refill stores all over the place, and that's where people were already buying shampoo bars, and that's where they were already annoyed with them, you know? So that's, I decided, you know, in the very beginning, while everyone else was going digital, I went analog. I called store after store, and I was like, if they're not the best bars you've ever tried, then don't worry about it, but I'll just send them to you for free. And
okay,
sometimes, I mean, many times, I had people call me from their towel after the first shower. Because, you know,
that's good, huh?
Yeah, I think so. They thought so. And some stores started with, you know, selling a few $100 of dip a month. Like they took an initial order of a few $100. And now some of them are selling $3,000 to $6,000 a month in stores. So
how many brick and mortar stores do you have?
There's probably around 350, because there are some are, you know, obviously with Amazon, it's hard to compete. So a lot of them close and then a few open up. So it kind of dances around between 300 and 400 all the time. But some of the, you know, it's one of those reasons, like I kind of see what's happening here is that people don't trust ads anymore. And so they'll trust someone who has an eco-friendly store that has tried every version of a shampoo bar and every version of conditioner bar and decides to stock that brand, you know? So it's very different than the influencer world where someone tries one version of something and just shouts it out to the world. But like these store owners have tried, you know, some of them hundreds of brands, some of them, you know, 20 brands. They were like me. They were like, okay, like I guess I'll sell one of these. I'll call them tombstones, previous brands. And then when you find something that really works and really delivers on its promises, like you want to tell all your customers about it. So I used that network of zero waste stores where I knew my type of customer was already walking in and already cared. And I created a partnership with stores like that in almost every state.
So we've heard about a common strategy people use on the show, especially with a product like yours where, you know, I'm not selling an iPhone. It has a much more reasonable cost of goods sold. Is product seeding. Product seeding strategy. You just go find influencers. Hey, love what you're doing. Can I send you this product? No strings attached. And then you follow up. You know, oh, you liked it? Okay. You know, would you want an affiliate code, et cetera? And so you get the content that way. You get it out in the world. You develop the word of mouth that way. And it works if the product is good and you put in the effort. Here, you've taken that concept, but then applied it to a wholesale brick and mortar independent store strategy that's worked out very well, you know, and kind of cut out the middleman a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's also bigger than shampoo and conditioner bars. As I said, like I want people to make the plastic free swaps. So I use dip to kind of get someone into one of these plastic free stores, these refilleries. And then when you're in there, you're kind of like soft served all the other swaps that have already been vetted. And so for me, that's like the bigger picture is like, I want someone to be plastic free. I also want them to see that they never have to buy another Ziploc again. They never have to buy paper towels again, unless like me, I make bacon. So I need paper towels specifically for bacon. There's no substitute for that. That works. But like, I haven't bought paper towels. It's got to be 4 years. But like, that's crazy for a fan. I have two kids and a husband. They make a lot of spills. So like, there's all these swaps. The whole mission was bigger and it's actually a really fun way to run a business because, okay, I have a small company, but now I have like a team everywhere. They're all over the States.
It's a fun way to think about it, isn't it? And it's because you believed in the product, they believed in the product, it's rare to find the products that like that sell themselves. You know,
yeah.
When you have I think the catch is you have to have the right audience, the right person.
Totally.
And, you know, good product. And
there's there's no use selling your product to people that don't want it.
Yeah. Yes. And that's like that's the frustration with Meta ads, right? It's interruption marketing and it's tough.
Meta ads, the criminal thing about Meta ads is once you start, they start sending like your ads to every single person who engages with your competition. Like, then you have to pay more to fight your competition. Like, where's the win for the brand on there? You can only win on discount. It's hard to win without discounts and like really like undercutting yourself and making like, I know so many brand owners that play that game. And now you can like reverse engineer someone else's ads with AI. But when a competitor looks at our ads library, there's nothing there. And I think that's really funny. Like they can't figure out how to compete because they can't figure out quite, it's not that they can't figure it out, but it's like the messaging isn't exposed everywhere.
Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the Unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. Will there ever be a world where you advertise?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not really against advertising. I'm against exposure of exposed because I have like over 200 competitors. And so just in the bar brand, like bar shampoo and conditioner space. So I'm not going to invite them over to scrape my ads and my strategy, which is basically what everyone who's running ads is doing right now. They're just,
yep.
They're literally, I mean, you're basically naked as a brand all the time. And everyone's just coming in with paparazzi cameras and taking pictures of you. Like, I don't.
It really takes it to a disturbing place. I hadn't thought of it that way.
So, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you protect your brand if you're running Meta ads. They've made it so hard to protect yourself.
What about Amazon? Because that one, you know, to me, feels like, you know, now that you have this successful brand and other channels, if you were to plug Amazon in with just like a hero product, would that work? I would imagine that would work as an acquisition channel. Or is it the same fear that we're going to have the, you know, same problem is by putting the listing out there, if it's successful, it will attract others.
It would work for me. I would make tons of money if I put my stuff on Amazon. But what about all of these stores that
we hate money?
Well, I don't hate money, but I do hate the idea of making it so easy for people to compete with the stores that are really trying to do the right thing. Like, I think opening a refill store is probably one of the most rock and roll things you can do in this like age of hyper consumerism. And the idea that if I put my products on Amazon, there's one small store that sells over $75,000 worth of dip a year. And, you know, like, what's going to happen to her sales? What's going to happen to her, you know, everything? Like, the idea of doing that to the stores that help build the brand, like, you know, it seems a little greedy to build your brand on the backs of all these small stores and then turn around and be like, you know what, I'll just 10x my sales on Amazon and like hopefully you guys do okay. I don't know whether I can do that. And again, like, I always kind of ground myself in that mission that I want someone to go and buy a shampoo and conditioner bar and then see other things like peppered around that makes their life easier, that has been vetted. Because in this like digital slop of marketing right now,
machine
can churn out 600 AI creator fake UGC ads in, you know, 15, 30 minutes. Like, what's left for people to protect themselves against shitty products?
I think to your point too, if you were to sell on Amazon, it sounds like that it would be, we assume it would be successful, but it would also cannibalize those brick and mortar sales.
Yeah. And I love the brick and mortar stores. Like, I love working with them. I love, you know, I know a lot of these people personally now, because as a brand, what I do is I create these, you know, retreats where we take small store owners that would have never met in real life, but all kind of know each other digitally because they're all kind of on the same page and same mission. I have taken them. I did a trip to Morocco for 2 weeks with them. I reinvest in the stores, and I took them to the Dominican Republic, our top 10 stores. And we had like fun and surfed and like did all this stuff. And then we just did this year, we did the Catskills. I set up like a fake summer camp, and everyone came. It was like so ridiculous and so fun. And so, you know, beyond like dollars are really nice, but the community is way stronger. And when you have so many competitors like I do who are dying to stop running meta ads and trying to like, I'm sure they can infiltrate, right? But the mission and the brand becomes so much stronger when you reinvest in the stores, or, you know, say if you don't have stores, say you reinvest in your top customers. Like there's a lot of different ways to do it.
So you've got this very, like, this local first distribution model. Mm-hmm. And you also have a Shopify store that looks good.
Thanks.
How do you help get those things to play together nicely?
Yeah. So it's actually really the secret sauce is not undercutting the stores with sales. And that's, so if someone, say for example, if someone doesn't live near a store, the shipping threshold is $5. But once they get their products, it says like in there, like, hey, if you have a store near you that you think would be a great fit for Dip, like bring this card in there. We'll give you a gift card if that store puts in an order. So it can be, you know, you can source it locally. So, and then also whenever a box goes out, I think you saw in your box, there was a sticker that said like, you know, check out the store locator. Like I'm always trying to marry those two communities and it works, you know, it's nice. Like it's nice to know that a brand for once is trying to reinvest where you live instead of siphoning all of the money and all of the salaries from everyone where you live and bringing it all like in a spaceship up to Amazon. And because, you know, Amazon just laid off 30,000 people, or that was like the rumor number. Like, this is how you protect your community from that. You reinvest where you live. It's brands are giving all of the power to Amazon and forgetting that the real power is kind of differentiating where you put your products to be sold.
And on your site, dipalready.com, you have a store locator.
Yeah.
And there's a note under it. It says small stores are closing at an alarming rate. Check with your nearest store first. They might have just what you need. If they don't, let us know the store's name and we'll send you a free shipping code as a thank you for trying to shop locally. Yep. That's so brilliant.
Thank you.
And stays on brand. Like the messaging is really clear with what you're trying to do here.
And it double helps us, because if a store doesn't have inventory, that's how we know. Like someone will go in there and be like, oh, they didn't have what I needed. And then I can say to the store, hey, you got to restock. This person in your town like wants to buy it here, and they probably are part of a network of friends that would also buy it. And so it's really fun. But on the Shopify site, we try and make it so that people are totally aware of the mission, but they don't feel bad if they don't want to shop in store.
Yeah, the way I have never seen, this is my first experience with a business that is an online store, Shopify store, that's structured in this way. And I really like it.
Thanks.
It's very clever. It's very positive. And then, you know, looking at your product detail pages on your store, there's a lot I like about it. You've got a video UGC here. If I had to guess off my top of my head, it's a Most app.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got it right.
I love the Most app. It's so great.
Yeah, no, that's a nice app. We've used that on several client stores. I have no relationship to them. It's a good app. And then in your reviews, your product reviews, which like the shampoo bar I use today, 4.9 rating, 241 reviews. And then there's the little AI magic button and it says see reviews summary. I've never seen this before. And it looks like this is, I think you're using Yotpo for reviews,
I'm
right?
I'm using Yotpo, which is, I'm, I bought the most expensive version of Yotpo because I really wanted it to just have everything that a customer would need to feel safe purchasing from our store.
It has the, yeah, this like drawer, you click see review summary and a little drawer pops out, says customers say, but it's really clever.
It's fun, you know? Right?
A substantial number of customers remark that their hair feels amazing. Like, you're not beating that.
Like there's no one in there that's incentivized to write anything about us, which is so fun. Like that's been like a slow build trying to build like the most authentic kind of version of our store we could do. But it is really, really fun to know and have like blast that out to our customers. Like these are all real people buying us.
I like this. You know, that my only criticism is I'm allergic to all these sticky widget and there's like a reviews widget on here and there's a rewards widget.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But people are always kind of minimizes our customer service. I always, another thing is like we have human customer service. So no one's in like an AI hell loop with buy our stuff. Like I have a dedicated customer service person who's amazing. And so it's hard for people to like find the rewards and all that stuff. So I made it sticky, but I don't love it either. I agree with you.
And then my pro tip, and I'm bringing this up as a educational point because I see this in stores of all sizes. You forgot to style the checkout. You could put your logo in there.
Oh, yeah.
Set the typography. But
yeah. You want to do it for me? How do I do that?
It would take me all of like 30 seconds. I could knock that out for you.
Oh, yeah.
After the call, I'll show you. But yeah, I've seen like, it's just something people forget. Every store does it. So
I love
it. Hey, what's your, so a bar of soap is $24, right? Mm-hmm. And what's our free shipping threshold?
$50.
$50. And so like 50 was just a round number we like. Is it based on AOV or two bars is 48? And then so may as well pricing. I'm going to buy a third because I don't want to pay for shipping.
Right. Yeah. So most people buy a shampoo and conditioner and that ends up being 56 unless you find this double dip, which is like $10 off. So it used to be 75 and 850 for shipping. Like it was high. And that was to redirect people on purpose to stores. But when so many stores started closing, I just softened it to 50 and 5. Because, you know, like it's got to be frustrating on the consumer. So I always try and put myself in the customer's shoes. Like it's very, very frustrating to like see an $850 threshold and there's no stores near you. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, and to go 75 on a first purchase and people were paying it, but it just felt icky. So I just reduced it and I liked 50 as a number. A lot of my competitors have reduced theirs to 30 and I've debated it, but the shipping materials are so expensive.
And yeah, well, and so is shipping. And
yeah, shipping
depending on where it's going.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we have a lot of customers in Hawaii. Like if their stuff doesn't show up and we have to reship it, it's like, oh, because Hawaii shipping is so expensive. But you know, it's okay.
For a brand like yours, what does a Black Friday sale look like?
Oh man. So we never, I mean, I don't say never, but we don't discount on Black Friday because cruelly they put Small Business Saturday between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Like, how is a store supposed to sell anything if everything online is 40% off, or like 30%? So what we do is we have a kind of a higher threshold for an awesome gift with purchase. And so
I love free gift with purchase.
It's so fun. Yeah.
My favorite promo. We just launched an app for it. It's Promo Party Pro.
Oh, really?
It's because we run, like I talk about free gift with purchase. We'd set them up all the time. And finally I said, you know what? We're going to spend this year building our own, you know, the way I think it should work. So we did it. It's live for November, just went live.
Oh man, I'll check it out. So this year, our Black Friday is if you spend $250 in the store, and we'll have bundles that are special for holiday that make it easier for you to get there.
Smart.
We will send you a branded Eno double nest hammock and with the straps, which is a $104 value. So if you spend $250, we'll give you the $100 plus gift. And
that's a compelling offer. Have you run this like in years? This is year four for you.
Yeah.
Have you done this in the past?
Yeah. So 1 year we did the leaf razor and the stand, and that was like $100+ order is what like value of the gift. And then another year we did like a skincare brand that was also pricey. So we do it as a thank you to our customers instead, because remember, like, our bars last so long. So a shampoo bar can last someone like 4 to 8 months, and a conditioner bar will last some most people around a year. So like having people buy tons of it isn't really great. We'll never see them again. They'll be stacked for years. But like making it so that if they want to buy it for other people as gifts, and like, and then the Eno hammock is really exciting because I've personally had my own since I got one for my honeymoon. I did this road trip around the country. And so that was 12 years ago. So I've had mine for 12 years and I love it so much. I have the same one. And I was like, I wrote to Eno. I was like, this is one of my favorite things I've ever purchased for myself. Like, can I get them branded for my company and just gift them to our, basically we call it our best customers. And so that's what we're doing. We just, there's no tricks or anything. Just spend $250 and we'll give you our, this awesome gift.
Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. December's not over, and neither are your sales opportunities. You just survived Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but are you maximizing every order that's still coming in? One-click upsell automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells across your entire customer journey. Holiday shoppers are still buying. Gift cards, last-minute orders, New Year prep. Make every sale count. Launch pre-purchase and post-purchase upsells for every product in one click. Customers see personalized offers and spend more automatically. Unlike other apps, you only pay for results, not views. Takes under 2 minutes to set up, starts working immediately. Don't let December revenue slip away. Go to Zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's Zipify.com/KURT. Finish the year strong, my friend. And thrilled to hear that it's a good gift. You know, the worst is when the free gift with purchase is often like things the company's overstock on, or, you know, the worst is when it's just like, all right, we got the cheapest thing we could from AliExpress. Like, oh man.
It's an insult to the people who buy things from you. It's an insult. Don't treat your customers like that. Like, they're the only reason you exist. Like, I don't know how people forget that.
When I get those, it's like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and see if I can remove the free gift from my cart.
Because
I don't want to have to be the one. It's like my house is just a stop on its way to the landfill.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Like, be out of it.
Gee, thanks. Another cup or a dish towel. Like, I don't want any of those things. Like,
oh, a pen light. Another pen light.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, and you know, in sustainability, it's going to get a little squirrely because the Eno hammock is not plastic free, right? Like, it's nylon. And sometimes we get customers who are like, hey, I thought you were plastic free. And it's like, okay, but it's like, this is not a single use thing. This is something I've had for years and I love it. And I let it get you outside. I just go outside.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Also, in some cases, the whole point of plastic is very durable. Right. And so there's some situations where it's like, that's actually, if it's buy it for life, yeah, I may want to use plastic.
Totally. I don't want to go to any hospital that doesn't have plastic. Like, it's important. It's important.
Yeah. We're not saying plastic is evil. We're just saying you've got to be, you know, think about its use a little bit.
Totally. I think everyone who finger waggles just has to put that hand back in their pocket sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you're not going to get anywhere with getting people to adopt sustainability if, you know, you're like the no fun police.
Oh my God. It's really, really hard. You know, so I'm sure you got a postcard, like the garbage fail kids.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And, I'm a millennial, so I remember the garbage pail kids from when I was a kid.
But you'll be surprised. So I'm millennial too. And a lot of people appreciate that branding, but a lot of like the very strict eco-friendly people write super nasty emails to us about they don't want extra cardboard in their packaging. And it's like, okay. But a lot of people do. A lot of people want the extra directions. A lot of people love opening, having the surprise and delight of opening something that you paid shipping for. Like, have some net. Like, there's, I love opening something that has been packed with care. And that's something.
Yes.
That's something about the doesn't matter how small your order is. It is packed by someone on our team because we're mostly vertical as a company. I have my own manufacturer now and my own team. And we ship from our own warehouse. And so I'm able to control that experience for people. And I want people to have this like, when you open it, like the tissue paper is folded such that the messaging is right where it needs to be. You know, it's one of the most fun parts of having a company and selling to people directly is making it fun for them to open.
I really, It's been a while since I've had, they call it an unboxing experience. It's been a while since I've had like a really good one. You know, I think it fell out of favor, or I'm buying the wrong stuff, you know. But like the Amazon, you're not getting there's zero unboxing experience.
Well,
you're just happy your stuff arrived.
Yeah.
Yours was a delight. It was great. And I love the garbage pail. And like, I wasn't expecting it too. I was like, oh, what is this? It was really, you know, quite this adventure to open up these shampoo bars. But okay. Let's do some quick questions. As you've been, you know, scaling over the last 4 years, best hire for delegation. What have you gotten off your plate that you're like, I should have done that sooner?
Oh man. So I actually, one of my employees used to be a refill store owner and a really successful one. And she had to move away from where her store was like geographically located. And I was like, I'll take you. You're exactly, you know, everything inside and out about the brand. She also used to sell around $6,000 worth of dip a month in her store. So she knew it really well. She knew how to move it. And now she's on like, she's the person in charge of retailer outreach. And she can speak both sides of the language. She can speak to exactly what store owners want to hear. And she can speak exactly to all the sustainability stuff. So she is incredible. And then I also, you know, I mentioned I invested in my very own warehouse and my own factory to make it, to make my company vertical. And though there's four people in that building, and that is the other big investment that I made that has really, really paid off.
Another interesting thing about this website, on your navigation, it's like shop, about, wholesale, store locator. Under about, most folks would have, you know, about, FAQ, contact. Three things max. Maybe team, four. There's at least 20 links inside your about. And like FAQ is its own category of seven things. So I love the amount of, you know, really storytelling, communication, helpful advice that's given here. But there is one, I could ask you 10 questions about these pages. There is one I have to bring up. Advice we ignored.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about the advice we ignored page.
So when you start any business, people really, really love to give you tons of advice. And I would just jot it down like one by one and be like, one of them's about digital marketing. One of them's about, you know, fragrance. There's a lot of different things on there. I just wrote down the things that made the brand counterculture. And, you know, it takes someone to be like, people are really nervous about buying, especially shampoo and conditioner bars in the first place. And then at our price point, because we're kind of like more expensive than most of the other brands out there. So I wanted someone to be able to like do a deep dive and dig within our own site and kind of laugh their way through how we got to where we are and how they even got to the site. And so that's one of those, is just because we're a little bit renegade in counterculture in general as a brand. And I think the advice we ignored is fun for someone to read who's frustrated with the state of marketing right now.
I enjoyed skimming through it. It was a lot of fun. And there's some good advice in there. Like you give, you know, you explain your thinking as to why this is advice you should ignore. What are the downsides to a brand like this? Maybe limiting yourself on revenue opportunities, but are you counterintuitively successful by having these limitations, by having, you know, this ethics first brand and this narrow focus and understanding of the audience? Like, do you think this has scaled better, faster, more successfully, no ads, et cetera, than if this were a more a traditional beauty brand that in theory has more opportunity, but I also think would be way harder to scale than this?
Yes. So a lot of our competitors in this space have already shuttered. Like they've done all the traditional stuff and they've already shuttered. Like it's hard to watch because I want sustainability with competitors or not to grow. But I think one of the biggest pieces to our success is saying no to a lot of things. And a lot of those things are secretly very costly. Like I think being on Amazon is so much more costly. So the revenue might be up, but the cost to get that revenue, like it doesn't seem like it's worth it. Right now I can like enjoy my life and spend time with my children and pay my employees. But the idea of having to throw money into Amazon to work 10 times as hard to get 10 times the revenue in sales, but not as much, and really have like a small profit margin is just not it for me.
I totally get that. And clearly what you've done has worked out well. So no pushback there.
Part of it is having fun as an entrepreneur, right? Like,
yes,
it's not just about the money. It's like having the fun, having the community and the engagement and you know, sometimes you go to an Instagram page that has like 350,000 followers and has like 3 likes because there's no like heart or there's nothing there anymore. You're just like serving pictures, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Whereas like because our community is so tight, even though we only have, I think like 12 or 13,000 followers on Instagram, like it's like a party on there. When we post, people engage and they're excited. And because there's not so many, like sometimes you get like, you know, 50 comments or 100, 200 comments. Like I could go in and have fun, like responding to them instead of it being like an endless void of people, you know, can't remember what the app is where like you type a word and then like it goes to your DMs. What's that app? You know what I'm talking about? It's like,
no,
it's like write sustainable in the comments. And then like suddenly you're funneled into their DMs and
they
tell you stuff.
I'm sure there's several of those chatbots. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many of those at this point. And I think it kind of takes the personality away from a brand and it prevents people from engaging in the first place. And the engagement is where you learn, you know, it's where you learn as the entrepreneur. Like I want to know everything about the negativity and the positive stuff.
All right. So I think my last question here, I want to know what's the best decision you made in the last 4 years that everybody told you was stupid? I mean, everything we're doing here is like counterculture, you know, ignoring advice. What's the one that you're like, you're going to zig when everybody said you should zag?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was very, very scared to do this, but it was building my own manufacturing facility. I built the building from scratch. Like the building existed and I had my own factory built. And that was at a critical point where a contract manufacturer that I worked with took a lot of money for a purchase order and then went bankrupt. And so I didn't have the products or the money. And so
jeez,
I was like, and this is pretty early on. So at the end of 2022 into 2023, and I just launched in October 2021. So I was like, okay, I've been in the beauty industry for a long time. And one of the deals I have with this contract manufacturer was like, they made our bars exclusively. Like there was no other competitors in that lane. Because in beauty, what happens is if something's successful, then they just change the formula just a little bit, the marketing ingredients, and then they farm it off to another customer. So I was very particular about having exclusivity with this manufacturer. So then my decision was like, okay, I still gonna make this or I have no company at all. Do I bring it over to another contract manufacturer where I couldn't trust them to be exclusive? Because that's not, they can argue that they to make it, they batch it, they now know the formula, and then they can like farm it off to a Unilever or whatever. Like, and so I, out of sheer protection, just the way I am about like the Meta ads thing, protecting our formulas, I built the factory. I brought the people that lost their jobs over to my factory one by one as I could afford them. And now we have our own facility, which is crazy because I was so scared to do it, but it felt like the only way to survive. And now the 4 people in our manufacturing facility, like they've been friends for decades. And sometimes I call them like having a party and they're like batching, filling, and it's the same people the whole time. Like there's been no churn there. It's the same people batching the bars forever. And I just love that they're there having a good time.
You know, a happy team certainly helps things. And yeah, building a manufacturing facility would scare me. But I also get, you know, the position we're in where you're like, well, it's better than the alternative. And, you know, long term, it totally makes sense. And now you're in this position where things are vertically integrated, which is great.
And it's I never went into this thinking I was going to own my own American manufacturing facility. But actually, that's become very important in the past year. That's something people are looking for. And so that's pretty cool.
Yes. No, absolutely. That has worked out for you. What's one thing you wish every Shopify store owner would stop doing?
Ooh, I think if you're selling anywhere at retail, I urge you to not undercut your retailers. It's so much easier to sell to a retailer, I think, than to sell to people one by one.
For sure.
For me, you do both, right? Everyone has a blended strategy. But if you're undercutting the stores, you're asking for just slow sales velocity there. And I don't see the point. If that's what your plan is to kind of discount to oblivion, that is a marketing strategy. And it can be a really good one, especially if you're updating your inventory all the time. You're selling t-shirts or you're selling, something where that people need over and over again. It's replenishable or consumable. But I would suggest to take it easy on the discounts. If you have something really great that you also put on shelf, please make it so that those stores can sell it as well.
It's good advice that when you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, duh. But absolutely no one does what you just suggested.
I know.
What they do is they go, hey, retailer, here are the exclusions we put on you. You can only sell here. You can't sell online. And here's, minimum advertised price policy. And then meanwhile, the manufacturer gets to do whatever they want.
So yeah.
Why do I want to mess with that? Now I'm giving up valuable shelf space to an item that I have to charge more than the manufacturer does. Not an attractive premise.
It makes the stores bitter. They're like, oh, well, I'll put your stuff on clearance and I'll put in a brand that doesn't do that. And I think in this digital world, we're seeing right now people, one of my employees is younger and everyone in her age group is off social media. They're just not on it anymore. They've deleted all the apps. As we're going into that new era of social media where everyone's becoming kind of everyone's getting digital hives. They just don't want it. I think it's important to remember in real life, if people are discovering your product, the first thing they're going to do is go to your website and or Amazon and see if they can get it cheaper. And that's a very, very normal behavior. And if you can stop that and make it so that that person standing in front of your product in real time still wants to purchase it there, that is a win for you as well. It's a win in both lanes.
Absolutely. So if I wanted to buy Dip hair care, where would I go?
So you would go to dipalready.com. And then you'd fumble through all of our pages if you really want to do a deep dive. And then you can purchase online on the site, or you can go to the store locator, make it pretty easy to find and see if it exists in your town. We sell in surf shops, salons, and zero waste stores, obviously. And sometimes if you're very skeptical, you can go into one of those stores or salons and be like, hey, is this everything it says it is? And they will let you know without me hovering over. And they'll let you know why they stock it and whether it's good.
I'm going to check it out. Well, actually, I don't have to reorder yet. I've got my own, my own bar. Yeah, I'll be back later. Maybe I'll just get on the newsletter.
Awesome.
Kate Assaraf, dipalready.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kurt. This has been a really fun one.
I'm glad. All right. We'll stop recording and then let's go fix your checkout page.
Okay. What do I need to do?
Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.